Thanks, Marie. Please keep your Bibles open. And I just want to do something a little bit unusual this morning. Many of you will know that we are partnering with Roma Presbyterian Church to try and encourage them and help them get their church up and running a bit after a few harder years. We don't see them very often. It's a lot of work to run a church by yourself with just a few people. Everyone has to do all the jobs all the time. So I thought we'd encourage them this morning by saying hello to Roma and giving them a little round of applause for their faithful work in Jesus. And good morning to Roma, who'll pick this up next week. Let's pray. Our God and Father, you've given us this word and you've held it together through centuries and centuries and centuries. And Father, we pray now you'd bring it to life in us as you always have with your people. Help us to listen to Jesus and Father, to worship him appropriately. Amen. I watch a little bit of Call the Midwife. I don't know if you've seen that show. Most of you probably haven't because you're inherently interesting people and I'm not. But Call the Midwife is essentially a show set about a century ago or something where they midwives help people have babies. But they all live in a nunnery anyway. They're Catholic mostly, and they live in a nunnery. And what strikes me is the incredible spiritual discipline that they have to have. The right times of praying, the right times of silence, the right times in the right rooms, not doing things on certain days. There's just so many kind of restrictions to it. And it kind of got me churning away thinking about all sorts of different religions and the kind of patterns and routines and rituals have. You know, some people have to pray at a certain time, multiple times a day, facing in the right direction. Many religions, you can only eat certain foods. Some of them are vegetarian, which would rule me out immediately, I think. But so many restrictions in religion, and that is why I think people generally kind of from the outside have this view that being in any kind of faith is ultimately about just self-denial and being restricted. The religious people are restricted and just denying themselves, and the rest of the world is kind of free. Free to pursue your own self-interests. You don't have to go to special rooms at special times. You don't have to pray so many times a day. You don't have to go to home group. And you're free to pursue your own self-interests without anyone telling you what to do. And the simple equation most of the time is there's the restrictions of religion and sort of the freedom of everything else. And in this discussion that Jesus is having today with his kind of crowds, it's a clash about who's really free, who's restricted, and who's free. And we're going to look at what Jesus does in this discussion under three headings, all right? The first one is Jesus is going to talk about expecting a different kind of victory, a different victory. The second thing he's going to talk about is that actually the people he's talking to are slaves. And the third thing he's going to say to them really is, can you see it? Different victory, slaves, and see it are the three ideas. Jesus starts off dealing with this question and who's a slave and who's free by reminding the people he's with there's a lot more to the world than they're thinking, a lot more to freedom than they're thinking. He's saying there's something they don't quite get. There's a different victory in mind to the victory they've got in mind. You know, if you're at all familiar with the story of the first century Jewish people and what we've been seeing in John's gospel, is that they sort of feel they're only one decent military leader away from getting their nation back from the Romans. And their idea is, as the Jewish people generally and the religious leaders, is that we will just get our freedom the second we knock over the Romans and conquer. Jesus has popped up in John's gospel. He's explained himself as the one sent from God. He's gathered some followers in the earlier chapters. He started his public ministry. A few of them expect him to start leading an army and conquer, and he doesn't. And by this point, he starts clashing with the religious leaders who expected that of him. And in chapter 8, Jesus has a confrontation where he tells them, you know what, I want to make it clear. It's actually me who's on God's side. It's me who's from God's place, and when I make a call, I'm doing God's work. He says in verse 16 of chapter 8, if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I'm not alone, I stand with the Father who sent me. And he says to them, your ideas and your plan, your concept of ultimately what will set you free is quite different to mine. My plan is from another place. I got another idea. Verse 23, he continues to the religious leaders, listen, you are from below, I am from above. You're of this world, I am not of this world. And Jesus' conflict with the religious leaders grows, of course, until they hang him on the cross. And he's forewarning them that his plan, his victory, his freedom will involve him being killed. They want God's king and God's Messiah to come in and wipe out the Romans and give them their life back. And Jesus says, no, 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 that's not really freedom. I'm doing exactly what God wants, and it's a whole different thing. It will require my death. Verse 28, Jesus says, when you have lifted up me, the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own, but speak just as the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. I always do what pleases him. The start of the tension really here is Jesus, for the very first time in John's Gospel, clearly putting his flag in the sand and saying, you have this idea of how it will work. I have this idea of how it will work. Victory for him is one thing and for them another. For them, military and political rule. For Jesus, death on a cross. Different victories for different freedoms. What do you reckon the kind of ultimate culture victory is? If you walk around the world, kind of the Western world anyway, and ask people, you know, what is sort of the ultimate aim? Where's the freedom you're looking for? And in most parts of the world, certainly the Western world, freedom is when the average human is free to pursue their own kind of self-interests without hurting other people. The United Nations calls it the right to self-determination, that everyone should be able to grow up safely, get an education, choose where they live and work and what they wear, how they want to be known, go where you want, when you want, use your skills in any way you want without people restricting your self-interests. Is that freedom for you? Is that your freedom, being able to choose what you want to do, when you want to do it, be free to be able to pursue your self-interests without hurting other people or being told what to do? Depending on who you follow, though, or where you live, the idea of freedom is a little bit different. So different people in different countries will be doing quite opposite things but still proclaiming that's freedom. Let me give you a couple of examples. Okay, so in Italy, everyone is free to display religious symbols wherever they want, even in schools, because you must be free to practice your own religion. In Finland, no one is allowed to display religious symbols really anywhere, especially not in schools, because everyone must be free to think that their religion is equal to others. In the United States, you are free to own weapons and carry them quite a lot because your freedom of self-defense and other things is really important. In Australia and many other countries, weapons are really, really restricted because the freedom to be able to walk around without fear trumps the freedom of being able to carry arms. In France, religious head coverings are banned to make sure that no one is treated unequally or discriminated against by their religion. In the USA and Australia, people are allowed to wear whatever they want so that they can freely practice their religion. And all of us, when we hear that, I reckon most of you are jumping straight away to one side or the other. Of course you should be able to do that. Of course you should be able to do that. And you'd all be slightly different. Which just goes to say that what you mean when you say freedom is quite different for different people. Everyone has a different idea of what it means to be restricted or free. And Jesus wants to deliver the religious leaders here to understand they're not as free as they think, and the freedom they want isn't as free as they think. They are actually living by someone's limits and someone's rules, and it's not just the Romans who are over them. He's going to say to them, you're actually slaves of someone. This is our second point, slaves. Jesus says he's got a freedom better than anyone, better than what they have. He says to them, he's got the keys to it all. From verse 31 of chapter 8, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus says, if you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Which they really don't like hearing. And I can understand that. If I went up to you in your house and said, hey, listen, I can change all this and you'll finally be free. They think they've got it sorted, that with all their laws, their political influence, their plan to get military victory, they're just one decent fight away from being there. But Jesus' surprise to them is even though they think that, and even if they get that, there's still someone setting the rules for them. And it's not God, as they like to claim. They've been so interested in their power politics and their military and their victory in their own interests. It's all being driven by someone other than God. Jesus starts telling it how it is from verse 38. He says to them, I'm telling you what I've seen in God the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. They say in verse 39, one of the ancient Israelites, Abraham is our father. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, you'd do what he did, but you're not. You're doing the works of your own father. What on earth is he talking about? They think that they've had this great idea to set themselves up, pursue their own self-interests how they want, and finally be free of the shackles. And Jesus says, you know what? You're actually always going to be serving someone else. You're not free. You're not even serving God. You are serving the arch enemy of God. From verse 44, you guys belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out his desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. He didn't hold to the truth. There was no truth in him. When he lies, that's his first language. He's a liar and the father of lies. You guys want to be free to pursue your own self-interest, and you're just like your dad, the devil, who is so interested in himself and his own power, and you guys are him. They wanted their power. They wanted their right to live how they wanted, when they wanted, and with whom they wanted. It was pure self-interest driven by the king of self-interest, the devil himself. Even when they think they're free, they're living by someone else's rules. And that someone is an awful, self-interested, murdering ruler. You see what Jesus is saying to them? And I think by kind of implication, saying it to us, the freedom we think we have might not be freedom. We are all slaves to sort of something and someone. Whether we know it or not, we're pretty much always living by someone else's rules, because there is no such thing as absolute freedom. No such thing. None of you are absolutely free to flap your arms and fly at 40,000 feet. I'd like to see you try. But other stuff, you're not free to do either. Most of us are limited by money. Most of us are limited by time. You will not live forever. And there are social limits. Do you know, to be free in a party at Dolby means you should be very happy to speak against something like being vegan or voting for the Greens or how much you hate chemicals or your insistence on renewable energy. You shouldn't support any of those things in Dolby. There's a social limit there. The social limit at a party in inner city Melbourne is quite different. You'd say exactly the opposite things, because the social limits are different there. And then there are moral limits. What is right and wrong, what we do and what we don't do. And we want to pretend sometimes there really aren't that many rules and we don't want rules, but we certainly want rules for other people, like don't stab me and don't take my stuff. We do want moral limits, but mostly we just want them for other people. Jesus is saying to these religious leaders, and really in culture in general, you know what, your idea of freedom, that you're sort of absolutely free or there's rules, is not right. There are always limits. You're always playing by somebody's rules. Someone somewhere is playing their part in controlling the shots. And Jesus says either you trust the good freedom of God or it's sort of the self-interested freedom of the enemy of God. And in the last part of the section, we didn't read it, it's chapter 9, Jesus heals a blind fella. And what Jesus does with this blind guy really is it's placed perfectly because he has this blind guy and he heals him to show the religious leaders that even though they have eyes, they can't see it. They think they're free, but they misunderstand it. And Jesus is going to challenge them. This is our last point, to see it. And we didn't read out chapter 9 because it's a big section, but it's simple enough as a story. Basically, what happens is there's a man who is, he's born blind and everyone's concerned to figure out, like, why is he born blind? What happened? What was the cause? And Jesus says, don't worry about all of that. The reason this guy's blind and what I'm going to do right now is so that you can see how good God is and be clear about the freedom he offers. Don't worry about the why and who. In chapter 9 and verse 3, Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so the works of God might be displayed in him. And this just gets bizarre. Because this kind of religious group who claim that they're free and have this great freedom are going to get angry at Jesus for giving this man back his sight on the wrong day. How can you get so ridiculous? How did they get to that point? The Pharisees say, Jesus must not be from God. He must not be doing something good. He must not be worth following because you know what? He's healed this blind man, but it's the wrong time. Verse 13 of chapter 9, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day in which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. And some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath. The Pharisees go on and try and prove that Jesus is a dud and the blind bloke cannot believe it. What kind of worldview, what kind of rules, what kind of life system that says you can only heal a person who's been blind for a life on a certain day is actually freedom? And the blind guy gets it. He can see that Jesus is bringing something that no one else has. Here's the blind man who no doubt would have been disadvantaged his whole life, no doubt far less educated than these religious leaders. And he said, this is amazing. What's wrong with you guys? This guy can help me see and you're worried about the rules. They call the blind man in, the religious leaders before him, and he answers their questions in verse 30. Now that is remarkable. You don't know where Jesus came from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man weren't from God, he could do nothing. And it's kind of, Jesus does this right after his run-in with them about who's really free to help them to open their eyes and see it. There is a wonderful, life-giving and loving freedom from the Lord Jesus and a life of crushing, self-interested rules under the kingdom of the devil through the Pharisees. Freedom from Jesus, fake freedom everywhere else. No one is their own master. No one is absolutely free. We all want it, but ultimately we're playing by someone's rules. And Jesus is wanting to say here, I can be trusted. I think one thing that's worth recognizing, you know, as you read through this, is that it's actually really silly to pretend that you can be your own man or be your own woman. that you sort of live by your own rules and no one's in charge of you and telling you what to do. Something's controlling you and drastically shaping you, whether you think it or not. And it might not even be obviously evil or obviously bad. It could just be that your family's expectations shape you and control you, and so you know where you're going to work in 10 years. There's expectations about who your partner might be and expectations about what you do with your money. All kinds of things can shape you. It might be the morals and ethics of the country that you grew up in. If you grew up in Sudan or in Thailand, you'd live quite a different life. There are always rules that you live by. The question for you is, do you know who's setting your rules? Who's setting your limits? Because Jesus is saying, if you don't live under his loving limits, ultimately it's the self-interest driven by the devil himself. Your freedom is a fool's paradise that will ultimately end in death. I want to say for those of us who are Christians, one of the things we need to be really careful of is that idea that, you know, Christianity, religion just limits our freedom and we could otherwise do a lot of other things. We actually really need to keep reminding ourselves of the limits of God and how they're driven by the sacrificial love of Jesus. Because I can tell you, freedom is a really strong promise, isn't it? And this is how you know when you're on a roster for someone and someone rings up and says, oh, you don't have to do that anymore. You go, oh. And so it's very enticing when, you know, the world has this picture out there and your friends and family who don't belong to Jesus seem to have so much freedom and you think, oh, I'm restricted and they're free. Not true. They're playing by someone's rules. So we just need to be wary of the promises of financial freedom, sexual freedom, time freedom, all those things that are offered. Every freedom has its limits. And the limits apart from Jesus are the self-interested limits that lead to death of the devil. And look, you know, as Christians, if people say, you guys are restricted, here's what I want to say. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We are slaves to a bigger and a grander reality. A reality where there are things that we live by because we can trust the loving sacrifice of the Lord Jesus to give us the best and most enduring freedom. Following Jesus doesn't give you the ability to do anything you want at any time you want ever. Nothing does. But what we do know when we follow Jesus is there's an ultimate God who knows about us and cares about us and understands time from beginning to end. A God who's used his ultimate power to serve us. Whose love is so extreme, he dies a humiliating death on the cross. And this is how we know we can trust Jesus' limits, because on the cross, he hangs there dying and looks at each one of us and says, I love you. I died for you. I died for your sin. I gave my all for you. And so when I tell you how to live your life, trust me, I have your best interests at heart and the best interests of the kingdom. Live by my freedom. A life we're made for. The limits that help us thrive. With God as our good Father and Jesus as our loving Lord, we can keep enjoying the freedom of belonging to God's kingdom. Let me pray. Father God, I really want to pray that you would help us to be wary of lies about being free. It's sort of really, it can really hook you in when people look like they can do whatever they want and they're free to pursue their own self-interest. It can really hook you in, but please remind us that everyone is playing by someone's rules. And thank you that your love for us is so clear on the cross when Jesus gives his all that we might live. And so we can trust his limits. Help us to enjoy the freedom of Christ. Amen.